Wow.
I just had to get to it. Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful people to remind me to do things. And I praise you for them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we got everything going. We praise you, Lord, for this kind of a shaky time we're coming into. But those that are yours, they're just sitting in your rest, Lord. We talked about this last time. We're just sitting in your rest, Lord, because we believe what the promises say. And promises say you're going to take care of us. Not only that, you're going to provide for us. You're going to feed us, protect us, and do all the things that a person that has faith needs. And we thank you, Father, for putting that bold faith into each one of us, because we're going to need it to even to help other people. And we praise you, Father, that you've placed it in us to do that. Put that boldness in us to do the things that your word says. Do the word, and we will, like Mr. James said. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. We thank you, Father, for your leading, your Holy Spirit leading tonight into the things that you have us to speak about. And I praise you and I glorify you for all that's accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment also. And any questions that comes up that somebody will have the answer. I know you do, and I praise you, Father, that you're going to give it to us too. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, does anybody have a praise report? Hey, Megan. Yeah, Pat, go ahead. Or prayer.
So I kind of had a bit of an epiphany today, but I'm going to maybe save that to a little bit later. But I just want to thank the Lord for healing my eyes and for healing my feet. Prayer has been made and offered up a few weeks ago, but I just praise him for that healing. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that can stop that healing that you have provided for us in your word. The fact that that healing was accomplished at the cross, and by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And so I thank you for that, Lord. I just praise you for the work that only you can do. And our job is simply to trust you, believe you, and thank you that it is done. It has been completed. You answer our prayers in accordance to your word with your answer of yes. You don't mince your words. You don't say yeah, maybe, or whatever else. If it's in your word, you've promised it. It is said. You said it. It is done. And so I thank you for that, Lord. So I just praise you for the work that you are doing in me and in all of us, Lord. And just ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit this night, and just give us grace to and wisdom to hear your word and just to speak forth in accordance to unity in your spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I receive that also. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Lord, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that during the days ahead, that you give everybody understanding as to what has to happen in their lives, wherever they are. That if you want them to move, they need to move, and go ahead and prod them to move. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that it's going to be an easy transition. And Lord, we ask and we pray for wisdom and discernment, that any questions that come up about it, that we would have them, Lord. We'd have the answers in Jesus. I know you do. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that everybody got that both emails that I sent out today, this evening, actually, just a little bit ago. All right, Missy got it. Okay, Monroe got it. Julie got it. Benita got it. Megan, did you get it? George, you get it? Barbara, Joe. Okay, well, all right, good deal.
Okay, I just opened mine, so it's fine.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay, Barbara, both of them? Okay, good deal. All right. Anybody got any questions that need to be answered? Y'all ready to get up out your seat and start clapping your hands? Okay, we'll do that.
Every word of worship,
with one accord.
I just love that song. I do. I love that song. That's a good one. I've been trying to get Chuck put it in there. He said they're working on it. Been working on it about a year now. He'll get it. He said it's real complicated. It doesn't sound complicated, does it? It's real complicated to play. He said there's all kinds of stuff in there. I don't know. Okay, has anybody got anything they want to talk about tonight? Well, we had a nice day today. It was blue skies, no clouds, 80-something degrees. Glory to God, I was right in heaven. I think it got up to about 85. No, it wasn't hot. It was just right, Benita. All right. Anybody got any subject matter? Yeah, Benita.
I was just listening to something today. I was talking about the Red Sea parting and, you know, how the Israelites went through the Red Sea and then all of the Egyptians were crushed in the sea. So I was just thinking about in our day, with a worldwide church and saints all over the world, what does that Red Sea parting look like in the spirit for us? I probably read it somewhere, but I can't think of it. So I'm just going to ask all of you guys, what does that look like for us? Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. There, she threw it out there. What does the Red Sea parting look to us nowadays as a spiritual thing or what? Is that what you're asking? Okay.
Yeah, because that was in the natural. So what is that for us in the spirit with a worldwide assembly? And, you know, it's not just the Red Sea parting. It represents something else. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, well, David talks about it a lot. All right, I've got the floor is open. I got the question. Sometimes it takes them a little while, Benita. Okay, Ben's got it. Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, look it up. Yeah. Barbara's also mentioning the baptism, but I also see, correct me if I'm wrong, but whenever I notice the staff is involved in a dream or I see it in a parable, I think of the authority that we have because Moses had a staff when he smacked that rock, when he put it on the ground, and he used the authority of God to open the sea. So we have our Moses, the man child that's coming in our day, that's going to part the seas, and the seas are also a representation of the nation. It's going to spread the nation, and they're going to be walking towards that promised land, right?
Yeah, well, our wilderness. Promise.
That's what I believe.
Oh, yeah, what is the stop? You know, the rod and staff. Oh, isn't that the
SCP? No, Psalm 23 is thy rod and thy staff.
Yeah. So, the comfort in the staff and the rod also. So I don't know if Moses had a rod or staff. The comforter's coming. I think rain, a lot of rain, maybe. It's going to start for us. Because we got a lot of examples of Moses.
Yeah.
There's one in chapter 3 of John, you know, and there are other places. You know, I'm sure everyone knows that Moses, of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, 10-11 is really a good one. Praise God.
Well, what does it say? Yeah.
Isn't that one where he's talking about that all these things are done as an example unto those for whom the end of time comes? How does it go again? These things are done for us to admonish us for the end of time, the end time that comes. You know, it's kind of like saying Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which blows the sun shall be, there's no new thing under the sun. God requires his past to fulfill the future. And we're coming to our, a lot of people don't know they enter the wilderness when they get saved. And, they need to learn that we enter a wilderness.
During the Red Sea experience, wasn't there a lot of things that happened, spiritually speaking? Where were they?
Well, they were still on the side of Egypt there.
Yeah, trying to get out.
And they were surrounded. They were surrounded by the land. And because they were surrounded by the land, God had to make a way for them. And he opened the sea and people went through. And of course, we know it to be also a parable to those that see in our baptism. And of course, the pillar of smoke too. Then, I don't think they really started to do the tabernacle until they went on the other side. So the tabernacle has to be either made or restored by this ministry that's coming. And of course, you need to have representations both for the ark, the showbread table, the lamp of the Lord, and the altar. We need to have them all spiritually. And our altar is an altar of grace from the Lord. And that's what we pursue from the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And that tabernacle is going to have to be restored to the people, not a physical one, like some people are even speaking about, but a spiritual one. You know, they kind of mocked Jesus on the cross when he was dying about a physical temple that took so many years to make. And it even says there in the word, he wasn't talking. We were talking about the temple of his body. We're supposed to be partakers of Christ.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Andrew.
We're supposed to be partakers of Christ. And he talked about that temple. The temple they mocked Jesus about when he was dying on the cross. Was about a physical temple. That's the way they saw it. And there are some people teaching about a physical temple, and they need to be taught that it's not the physical temple, but the spiritual temple that needs to be restored. And these various items that were in that first temple or moving temple, which would be a tabernacle, is spiritual items that are within you. You're compared to being his sanctuary, where you dwell in him and walk. He dwells in you and walks. So the various furniture in this temple is something spiritual. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And it's that lamp. You need the seven lights of that lamp. And in chapter 11, which was discussed yesterday, in chapter 11 of Isaiah, I think those seven lights are the lights of that lamp in the temple. And then there's the other stuff that was there. There's the table that had the 12 loaves of bread on it, which was supposed to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. But I think with us, it's the 12 apostles and their instruction. The loaves are, of course, the bread of God, which came down from heaven to give us life. And so you know, of course, this is moving down from crossing the Red Sea. A way of the restoration of the latter rain of all the fruit that the locust, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the canker worm. We don't want worms, because we know of a place where the worm dieth not. And you know, the worms ate some of the fruit, and the fruit has to be restored within you. So when the fruit gets restored in you, then I guess these bugs that ate God's fruit has to be restored to us for the latter rain, as it says in Joel. So you guys know all this stuff, so. The fruit and is within that bread that's on that table in the wilderness. Because you are, I would assume you are the one who has that within yourself, those 12 loaves of bread. Because the Lord supplies to you. And you know, he has a way of reminding you too. He can remind you even before you have the knowledge. That's how it works. Some of you were diligent to add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, but some of you actually did the faith and virtue before you even knew where the verse was. And then he told you the verse. And then it went all the way through to the little doll at the end that was love. You know, you have that doll, you open one up, and the next one's in it, you open that one up. So it goes all the way from faith to virtue to knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So I guess you got eight dolls. I don't know, maybe diligence is a doll too. I don't know. So all the, you know, they're all dolls. So they're... The woman is a doll, so the woman is going to be turned into a bride when she's got all her dolls in order, okay? So that's an easy way, I guess, of thinking of it. And, you know, faith is needed because it's your fruit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. You know, that there's the other fruit of the flesh, but we need a crown. So no cross, no crown. But if it really is no word, no cross, no crown, no fruit. You know, because the fruit is your crown, and you need sometimes, don't give us crosses. We don't give each other crosses. It's just that sometimes you can get a cross out of those people who are in the church because that's what it's written in Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's where they call those Cretans, liars, evil beasts, idle bellies. Well, I have a Bible somewhere here where I said, I circled the word Cretans and I say, what do they put in place of Cretans today? What nationality are they putting in there now? Or type of people, you know? We're supposed to love everybody, but we can't love anybody unless we love God first. So, agape style. So, love builds the temple. The temple, where it says that temple, the back of the book of Revelation. Where it's God and the Lamb. God and the Lamb temple. Yeah, says that. There's no temple. But there's God and the Lamb. And that's the sanctuary that's in heaven in the book of Revelation. So that's the sanctuary we have in this wilderness. I think. There's a verse there. I can't remember the address, but it does say God and the Lamb. Yeah. I think it's 21 Revelation. Because it says that there won't be any temple there or sanctuary, because the sanctuary is God and the Lamb. And it has to be the Lamb, because the Lamb is, there's the head of the Lamb, and then there's the corporate body of the Lamb. So we're going into the wilderness, and I just can't remember. I don't know, maybe some of you guys know whether they already had all this stuff for the tabernacle before they went across, or did they get it in the wilderness? I can't remember that part. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Well, if you remember, the Lord made them go back to the place at the Red Sea where they would be completely surrounded, couldn't do anything but go across the Red Sea. And of course, Moses got all flabbergasted. And at that time, what happened? Lord, didn't I tell you I was going to send you to the promised land? Get your stick up, park the sea. And he parted the sea, which is what? That's authority that God has given us. When he tells us to do something, he's going to give you the wherewithal to do it. That job, whatever it is, it makes no difference how big or small it is. He's going to give you the wherewithal to do it. And he's going to do it in a way that's going to give him the glory. And not us. It's always going to be God that does it that way. And that's just a portion of it. Okay, Julie, you had your hand up a while ago. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, like you said, you know, like if we take credit for this stuff, we'll get up just a little bit too big for our britches. And God doesn't want to do that. That way, you know. We got to let him do it all, you know, because we'll just get really proud and having him go about it. That's just another story, and we know that's wrong.
Amen. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Just something that, you know, it was already kind of chat about it being, you know, it represents the baptism going through the Red Sea, and just something I remember, you know, is that the Lord told them, you know, the Egyptians, this, you know, you will see them no more. You know, that old man, our past, who we're enslaved to, and, you know, they all died in the water. There wasn't anything left. And, of the old man. And I remember David, sharing a dream that he had about, his son's going across, I can't remember, like a riverbed or whatever, and going up the side with it, like as a turtle, and then getting up on the other, other side and turning into a rabbit, and got anointed with the oil and stuff. You know, it's kind of a type and shadow of that too, about, when you get on the other side, that, you know, we go into the wilderness, with the Holy Spirit leading us. You know, the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day, and just following the Lord, following the man-child, Moses, you know, following the man-child. Trusting God with nothing when you have nothing, you know. So that's kind of how I remember those things about it. I don't remember the whole, you know, without going back and listening to a teaching, but those things, I remember those examples and stuff. So. I'm sure there's a lot more.
Well, during that period of time, remember what the people said? What'd you take us out of Egypt for? They started their murmuring right there, right at the beginning. They went to murmuring. Why did you do that? Why did you get us away from that? Go ahead, Pat. There's a lot there.
So I was, I just kind of flipped over there and read the story there. It's kind of interesting, but, the neat thing about, God's word and the examples or the types that he gives us, they can be applied differently to different applications in different generations. What these examples meant to the early Christians probably they apply those types and those principles applied to the particular circumstances that they were experiencing and they were going through, which is also good information for us to be able to, I mean, even in this day and age, to be able to see how they applied those examples in the earlier days, in the early church, and all through the church history up until this time. But so I guess how I apply this situation today is that, you know, what happened there in when, you know, God sent his the children of Israel, he formed a condition, a famine in the land. He prepared Joseph ahead of time to be able to have favor with the king, and he provided the necessary circumstances to transfer his children of Israel, sons of Jacob, into Egypt, knowing that in a certain amount of time he would raise up a king, and they would become a slave nation. They would become a slave, enslaved to that world system. And obviously, God planned that whole process to take place over a period of 400 years or something like that. because he would, and then he was going to raise up Moses, take him through his own wilderness. And then if you think about this, his people, which were his covenanted people with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his heritage, or his offspring, shall we say, they were enslaved in the world system. They were completely asleep as far as things of God. They had grown used to being enslaved. They complained so many more times, even in these verses here, when they were, as God brought them out of Egypt by coming in and performing miraculous deeds and acts that even convinced and pressured a nation, a ruling nation, to let their servants go, let their a whole workforce go. That would be equivalent to a nation letting every one of their companies and employees and farmers and everything else go out of the nation and just leave them. And they have to try to figure out how to accomplish, how to do life without a whole industry of slaves that were there to do all those things, all those tasks and trades and et cetera. But anyway, I compare it to today, where God's people, for the most part, those who are called by God's name, Christians, called by the name of Christ, the majority of the church is asleep. They have relatively no clue as to what the impending disaster is coming upon the earth right now. They have no clue as to, well, I'm going to, that's generalization. Generally speaking, the church at large is asleep. And when tribulation starts, though there will be a massive loss in multiple people, even those that have are called by the name of Christ and don't know how to walk with him and are probably compared more to the first three examples in the parable of the sower, that they have tasted, they stuck their toe in the waters of baptism, and that's as far as they went. And some of them are just, so there's a whole massive amount of people that are not awake yet. It is going to take God's complete destruction of this world system as we know it, and I believe this is what is coming. God is going to destroy massive amounts of this world structure in order to bring his people out from underneath that jurisdiction. They're going to need to, but they're going to be like people coming out of Egypt and going and crossing over into the wilderness. And these people are, you know, there's when the Egyptians had second thoughts about letting these people go, and then God led them over to the edge of the entrapped them at the edge of the Red Sea there, and then the Egyptian army came after him, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to bring us forth out of Egypt? And they started railing on Moses, basically. Is not this word which we spake unto thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So they were not exactly people of faith here. Their eyes were just being opened. Their life had just been shattered. They left half of their possessions, if not the majority of their possessions, back in Egypt, and they packed up what they could take, and they followed this guy out into the wilderness, and or out into the desert, and. In verse 13 there of Exodus, it's interesting because it was Moses here that spoke first. As I was remembering the story, I thought it was God that spoke first. But in verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, and lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud removed from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was a cloud and of the darkness, yet gave it, and there was a cloud and the darkness, yet gave it light by night, and the one came not near the other all night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and upon their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked forth upon the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and discomfited the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thy hand over the sea, and the waters may come, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen." And Moses did so, etc. There's going to be a, this was a total destruction of a nation, of a world system that, that controlled, manipulated, influenced these people of God. And he, and God is going to do, has to do, or will do the same impactful type of scenario in this day, because he's going to destroy the worldwide satanic kingdom that has enslaved the people of God for a couple thousand years, but more intensely even into this last day. And so I think that the first thing that we are seeing is this deep state worldwide destruction and the preparation for bringing one beast kingdom, ending one kingdom, and making the transition into the next beast kingdom. And so I think to a certain degree, we're looking at a situation where we will be going through a wilderness, and many of us who are learning the lessons of faith, and learning how to, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Access the resources of this highest jurisdiction in Christ, pulling are from those resources out of the heavenlies, in order to assist and overcome, even in that time of lack, great need for resources for people through that time. God is going to do something that everybody will know that this wasn't caused by a person or a nation or whatever. This is going to be something that is going to shatter this world system, and it will be looked on as an act of God, I believe. And so, I think this is, you know, where we are. I feel this is where we're at right now. And then what happens after that as far as moving into the promised land and that process, I'm, you know, not quite sure how to apply that right yet. But anyway, that's what I'm feeling.
All right, anybody else? You know, Pat, going into the tribulation, and believing God for everything, this first 3.5 years, how many people, and I've thought about this often in the last few days, how many people are going to be murmuring the whole way? The whole way. And you know what happens to people? The people that murmur during that, they don't get to see the promised land. They do not get to see the promised land. Well, I just don't see how God's going to do that. Well, it's not, it don't make any difference how he's going to do it. He can do whatever he wants to do. All we have to do is believe he's going to do it. How many of you can trust God with everything? I know you can say, you can right now, everything, your belly's fat and everything's cool right now. I ain't talking about you, David. Or Lena. But Lena's got it. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I've already experienced this with a lot of people here the last 14 years. A little bit of wilderness or a little bit of tribulation comes up and they go to murmuring. Well, I don't believe God wants me to do this. Okay. And they're gone. It's those who endure. We talked about this before. Those who endure in their faith to the end. God is not going to allow you to die or to be in real, 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 real need, but he will test your faith. He's tested our faith here just in the last months, few months, big time. But we just keep hanging on in there. Just keep hanging on in there because we know our God is not going to let us down. David says it quite well, you know. He says, our recompense is before us. We get through this, it's going to be awesome. But we have to go through the trials in order for the Lord to test us to see if we're going to be obedient to him. That's what happened to Moses after most of the people out there went to murmur right off the get-go. Hadn't even gotten into the across the sea yet. They were starting their murmur. All right, go ahead, Bessie. Well, I get this.
Unmute, Missy.
I thought I tapped it and it didn't, I thought I unmuted. Okay. What comes to me often is that, neither ye murmur as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. I forget where that's at. It's, I think Paul quoting it or saying in one of his epistles, but I forget where it's at, but that comes to me a lot. And Lord, help us not to murmur and complain. It's unbelief. Help us, Lord. It's not to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. All these things work for our good, Lord. For our light momentary affliction works for us more and more surpassingly an eternal way to glory. look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Keep our eyes on you, Lord.
Well, Missy, go ahead. You got your hand up.
Sorry, I forgot to put it down.
Go I'll ahead, repeat David. What I said. I'm on the phone right now. Go ahead, David.
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
Can you hear me okay?
Sorry, Lakeisha. I'm on the conference call too.
Yeah, we want to hear it, Michael. Go ahead. But anyways, my recent trials, I mean, left me in a place where I'm like, Lord, what I like? How do you even have faith, you know? And I mean, you find yourself in a situation where you know in your mind that you gotta trust God in all things. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the rest will just fall into place. I mean, that's a promise. And, you know, recently in a trial, I mean, it was just back to back trial. And, I mean, I was riding my motorcycle to work, and out of nowhere, it cut out, stopped working. I had the boss's son come pick me up, and the motorcycle took it to the shop where I work. Then I took it apart, and I was like, okay, it's just a simple fix. I ordered the part. That didn't fix it, and then I find that it lost compression on 3 out of 4 cylinders. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. And I mean, and then it was so much stress at work, not even just the motorcycle. It was so much stress at work that it left me questioning. I'm like, Lord, do I even belong where I am? I was like, it's almost as if you just want to go poof off the earth and just never return, you know? And it was one of those, and I found myself, like, I didn't catch myself right away till today. I was going over a trial, and I keep asking the same question, Lord, why this happened? Lord, why this? Why that? And I keep forgetting the fact that it's not, Lord, why this happened. It's Lord, I thank you that you slowed me down, and now I get to rethink the situation where I'm stumbling. I mean, it's, yeah, the Lord's giving spankings, but he won't leave you deserted, and he won't punish you for no good reason. I mean, you don't just go grab a random kid and for good behavior just whip him. I mean, and today I was just going through a trial, and you know, and I realized that I wasn't trusting the Lord in any of my situations. I was just trying to jump in with my works, and I was messing a lot of things up, and a lot of things were happening to me, and I'm like, man, why isn't the Lord doing this in my life? I mean, I was asking the Lord for this. Why isn't this happening? And today I took the time to backtrack, and I'm like, man, it's not the Lord. It's me waiting for a change and not wanting to change. I was waiting for the Lord to do such a big work in my life whenever I didn't want to change the way I was so the Lord could do his work. I was still holding on to my flesh, and I mean, I was waiting for heaven to come to earth. Whenever we were created for heaven to live in us, the kingdom's already here. So I was like, why not live at the peace of knowing that Jesus is in me and heaven is here? I mean, I heard a sermon where the guy said, and he said, if you're waiting for heaven to come to earth, you're going to live hell on earth until that day. And I was like, man, Lord, oh, here I am waiting for a change. Whenever I wasn't allowing the change to happen. And man, Lord does great works, and the Lord worked everything out, you know, and like, I was over here complaining. I was like, man, I'm about to put a lot of money in this motorcycle and all this. And I didn't even take the time to realize that after doing this, after getting ahead to get that motorcycle fixed, that bike is still going to be less than half the cost of the bikes out there. I didn't even take the time to think about that. I was just so focused on, man, everything's going wrong. Man, I'm about to put more money into this thing. That I didn't see a bigger picture. And man, it's crazy how much blessings and things we miss out on because we're waiting for such a big picture. But whenever God already painted a big picture, we're just not seeing it. And thank you, Lord, that these trials are not here to hurt us. These trials are to make us strong. These trials are to perfect us into his righteousness. And that's what we seek first. Lord, yes, we do. We seek your face. We boldly seek your face, and nothing can stand in our way, Lord. Let us see the trials that we have on this earth, to know that you are perfecting us for what's to come. Lord, and I ask, Lord, I thank you, Father, that heaven has come down into our hearts and you live in our hearts, and that we may live from this day on as righteous sons in your eyes, because we are your sons, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that.
Amen. Great testimony. Awesome. That's what I was wanting to hear. That is awesome, David. Yes, that's a learning experience. Praise God. Yes, it was. It was an encouraging message. Thank you. Go ahead, Pat.
I think Tuesday, I'm getting my days mixed up here, but I think I asked, they're running together. I think I asked, or was talking kind of in the vein of how to, I guess, be proactive in what God's doing in our life, how to, you know, not only just speaking in agreement and being in agreement with that word, but how to take a more proactive, you know, instead of passively waiting for the promise to manifest or whatever it is. And instead of just passively waiting, is there a proactive position that we need to take. And anyway, so the Lord gave me this verse this morning right out of bed, and I just wanted to read it because it was interesting. It's in Matthew 11, verse 11. It's talking about John the Baptist. And he said, in verse 11, he says, "Truly I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." And I had to stop there and think about that. I mean, if you think about that, that's quite a statement. Among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And as I get to thinking about that, you know, there was Enoch who walked with God and God translated him and didn't see death. There was Joseph who, served, went through a prison and God raised him up to provide salvation for the sons of Jacob. And there was Moses that led the people of God out of Egypt. We just talked about there was Joshua that commanded the solar system to freeze for a day. And Elijah and the prophets and Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach. There are a lot. King David, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived prior to Christ. And yet Jesus is saying that among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. So if you think about that and put that in perspective as the standard and then read what happens next. Yet he that is little or the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And this is the verse that the Lord put in my mind this morning, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now. And I got to thinking about, what did Jesus mean by until now? Did that mean until now, the time when he was saying this 2,000 years ago, or is he speaking here of some sort of a transition that is being made? And he is using John the Baptist as the pivot point. From the days of John the Baptist until now, so something is happening after John the Baptist. And then think about that previous verse. Yet he that is but little in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. And then he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and men of violence take it by force. If you look up that word violence, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence or force, or in the Strong's, it says to force, that is to crowd oneself into or press to suffer violence or whatever. But it is a something from the days of John the Baptist, this new covenant relationship with God. There's something where we have to forcefully, in whatever form that means, we have to forcefully take that kingdom. There's something there where God is doing something, wants us to participate, in this process of taking this kingdom. And he says, men of violence, that word violence is, it means a forcer, or one that is energetic or even violent. You know that this word is only used one place, only here in the New Testament. It's only used one place. So there's something significant about what God is motivating us or I think wants us to see, that there's a personal interaction, a personal the picture I have in my mind is Joshua going into the promised land. They went in to conquer, and they went in forcefully to take possession of that land. And so, anyway, I think the thing that I have been learning, and kind of the epiphany of today, was God has given us specific tools, one of which we started out with tonight, and that is praise. And as I was coming home, I have to read this. This thought came to me. I had to text it to myself. And this has to do with that God has given us certain tools whereby we can access the heavenly resources, or those resources that only come from that higher jurisdiction. And one of those, not only obviously faith, believing his word, and resting in that word, and then I think a very important additional tool in accessing those resources is thanksgiving, rendering up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And then, of course, along with that, there is praise. And obviously, thanksgiving is a reinforcement, a positive reinforcement that we can give, that we can participate in. And we can give thanks to God in the midst of the lack, and in the midst of not seeing it yet with our eyes. I believe he wants us to learn to give him thanks beforehand, specifically because that reinforces the fact that, number one, he's already given it. Number two, there isn't anything that we can do to earn it or to do whatever. We can't. We don't have the time because he's already gave it. So but by offering thanks, it is a confirmation to our heart and to God that we understand that he has already he's already done it. And praise, which I think, personally, I think I need to enter into, to understand, to enter into more of that process of praise and bragging on God for what he has done, even in the midst of not, of still waiting for the manifestation, shall I say. And I think those two things, at least those two things that I'm seeing, those are our willing participation, our proactive contribution, not to assist God, but to allow God's freedom to flow in our heart. I think it is additional resources that we can avail ourselves of to, I'm not going to say speed up the process, but I am going to say that in and of itself, giving thanks when you don't see it manifested is a crucifixion, so to speak, to that earthly perspective. And so I'm just seeing this morning or today on my way back from work, excuse me, this thought came to me, and that is there any question who is doing the work when we are only allowed to speak words of faith in order to accomplish a thing? If we are only allowed to speak in agreement words of faith and confidence and thanksgiving and praise to God, if that's the only thing that we can do, and it's just, and all it is offering words or praise or song, it can only be a true, when the result comes, the only one that can be attributed to is God. Because everybody knows on this worldly kingdom, you can't just say something and it appear. But yet and those are the tools that God has given us in order to access the resources of heaven. And I think it was Tuesday when, or maybe the previous Thursday when I was thinking about it, when Jesus depended upon the, excuse me, he functioned willingly on the resources of this earthly jurisdiction. He was at ease functioning. In other words, went through his ministry, and evidently people gave them resources, money and food and this and that, because Judas, I remember, or Judas held the bag. He was the one who held the money. So people evidently gave to them and so forth. So he was free to work and to utilize that structure, that, shall we say, that earthly structure of supply and demand, or whatever, however you want to say it. But there were times when they were out on the mountain and there was 4,000 or 5,000 people around them. And those were the times, a couple times, where he demonstrated where those earthly resources failed, you can depend upon heavenly resources of faith. And so he transitioned from functioning in that earthly jurisdiction and tapped resources out of that heavenly jurisdiction at the same time. And he easily went between two and wasn't condemned if he was not depending, but if he was utilizing the rudiments of the world and that system. But he was very easily made the transition to the heavenly jurisdiction in order to, when he needed those resources. And we have all kinds of examples of that in Sovereign God, when the Lord was had led David through those examples as well. So I think what I'm learning now is to utilize those tools that he has given us. And one of those is Thanksgiving. And I tell you what, when I experienced, I believe, some of the strongest and quickest growth in my relationship with the Lord, when I simply learned, and I don't know how I did this, I'm sure the Lord just put it on my heart, but whenever I was going through a struggle, something came against me, hit me, something, you know, was contrary to me in some form or another, I learned to, first thing before I did anything, before I yelled and screamed or did whatever, the first thing I learned to do is thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. Not quite sure what you're trying to show me through this process, but I'm all ears, and I just want to thank you because you're bringing it into my life. You're doing it for a reason, and so I don't see what the reason is yet, but you wouldn't have brought it into my life if you weren't going to show me the cause or the reason or whatever. So my eyes are open to you and I give you thanks. And I'll tell you what, it certainly just changes your frame of reference in order to view this person that may be chewing you out or angry at you or whatever it is. It gives you a reference to watch that process objectively through God's eyes. And he just blessed my heart doing that process. And I was just, and was just able to, the Lord, I don't know how to say it, but he just allows you to be a bystander watching this whole thing that is happening to you with the Lord, and you're watching it happen, and you're questioning him, you know, through the whole process. How do I relate to this? What's going on here, you know? And he certainly just, you know, with that thanksgiving, it just opens it up. So I'm praying and thanking the Lord that he's going to teach me and us the same freedom with praise, and how to open up and unleash our praise and our thanksgiving. And I believe he's going to teach us through that process, the ways, and the tools of bringing the resources of that heavenly jurisdiction. By the way, where we're all sitting, right in Christ at the right hand of God. And I just think he's going to open up our eyes and show us and teach us how to be able to tap those resources in Christ. So anyway, I think that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, just believe and thank, like you said, believe and thank God and praise him for the results that you want. You'll walk right into it, just like David was talking about. The kingdom of heaven is right here. It ain't somewhere in the by and by. It's all right here. Everything that we need is right here. And all we have to do is walk in it. And talk in it. Confess it. One of the biggest things that the Lord has taught me is confess it. Confession of the word is powerful. We learned that in quantum faith. I mean, whatever you speak is going to happen. That little old whatever cloud there changes into a dot, and it starts doing what you want rather than wandering around out there in the cloud. I'm telling you, that just changed my whole outlook on faith, is that quantum faith, because it brought it into a way where I could understand it. Okay, I got this cloud out there, and I want this cloud to do something that I want it to do rather than just wandering around out there in another land. So then when you start speaking, bless God, I am healed, because the word of God says in Isaiah 53:11 and also in 1 Peter 2:24 and also in many other places. You start speaking those words, and God looking down at you, and of course the quantum thing is working too. That's all God. That's all God. God put all this stuff in place for us. You start speaking it, confessing it like you're talking about, Pat, praising God for it, and it'll show up right at your doorstep. Glory to God. I know it will. I've already seen it happen. David's seen it happen. All of y'all have seen it happen in some phase of your life, walk with Jesus. Man, I've seen so many things, y'all have too, that when you spoke it, when I first started out with this healing thing, I was just imitating somebody else. That's what I was doing. I was just imitating somebody else, and God honored it just to show me how good and merciful a God we have is. And once I started seeing God answer my prayer, I just kept on believing. Well, look at here. God can do it to a newborn Christian guy, new creation, that he can do it for anybody. And that's the truth, too. He can do it for anybody. If you just trust God, just trust him. Do what the word says, like James tells us to do. If we start doing what the word says, oh my goodness. There ain't no, listen, I was thinking today, and I do that, I've been doing this a lot lately, and that is, why do we put limits on God? We put him in a little box, throw him in our pocket, and when we need something, we pull him out, let him out, okay, Jesus. You just need to open it up, because God is everywhere. God is right here. Like David's talking about, God is right here. If he's right here, then he knows what I need. All I got to do is affirm it for him. Thank you, Jesus, that I've got my healing. Thank you, Jesus, that I've got my provision. Thank you, Lord, for protecting my family. Thank you, Lord, for getting my family up into safety when the time comes. Thank you, Lord, for doing all of those. Thank you, Lord, that I get up in the morning, I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to have somebody get me up out of my bed. Thank you, Lord. You know, all the things that we want. Thank him for all of that. And guess what? He's sitting up there. Y'all see what that boy's doing down there? Glory to God. Go down there and bless his socks off. And that's what'll happen. You got to walk always in the frame of mind that Jesus is there with you all the time. And you trust him implicitly. And when you don't hesitate when you see somebody in need, and the Lord says, go over there and touch him. Command that healing on him and watch what happens. That's right. Jesus is our example. I'll tell you something else. I've had people say, Mikey, sometimes you get a little bit loud. I can't believe that they told me that. I am such a humble, quiet person. But anyway, listen. Yeah. But here, yeah, I know I get a little bit loud at times, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was loud at times too. You don't think that he sat up there and whispered to Lazarus, do you? Uh-uh. He didn't whisper to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth, glory to God. Boy, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He come out there, he was wound up and patches all over him and couldn't hardly walk, walking like a Chinese woman trying to get out there because Jesus had called him. And he got out there and he said, cut them clothes off that boy and let it breathe. He's alive again. And that's the way we have to be. Peter, when he went over there and told that crippled man, said, I ain't got no money but what I have in the name of Jesus, get up out there. And what did he do? He jumped up. He didn't go over there and mamby-pamby him. He didn't. He didn't go over and say, come on now. Jesus said, you're healed. Come on now. Get on up there. No, he went over and he grabbed that man by the hand. He said, get up from there in the name of Jesus. Get your bed and let's get out of here. That's what he did. You be bold in what you say. And always believe that what you say is coming to pass. It's already done. Jesus took care. Jesus gave us past tense promises. Every one of them, past tense promises. Ain't none of present tense. It's all past. He's already taken care of it. Yeah, Pat. That's right. So don't be, you know, I know Jesus went up and they said that he healed them all. But do you think he just sat there and said, all right, y'all be healed? I don't believe that's what happened. I believe he stood out there and he said, in my name, y'all are healed. Be healed, all of you. That's what I believe. I've got my eyes on the Father. And he said, I could do this. Bless God, you're all healed. He had compassion. Almost all of them you see in there that he healed, he had compassion on them. He loved them. And that's where we have to be. We have to have that love that Jesus had. The love to believe that God's going to walk with you, talk with you, and act with you. He's going to be with you everywhere you go. When you declare and decree something, believe it. We declared and decreed something here not too long ago. Oh, yeah, that the girl was going to have a baby. I said, the Lord told us, in the September of this next year, she's going to have a baby. Guess what? This is a few months ago, she's going to have a baby in September. She thought she was not going to be able to have babies. But God, we all did. We all believed. Y'all believe with me. When two or more gather together, there I am in amongst you. I mean, we got more than two here, don't we? There's a bunch of, a lot of Jesus here right there. I just want to encourage you. Don't just try to make up a lot of stuff that doesn't amount to nothing. Just go out there and do what the Word says. If the Word says it, by His stripes I'm healed, bless God I'm healed. I don't want to hear nothing else, less. You know? Well, Michael, you can't hear nothing. Who said I couldn't hear? I can hear. All right. Anybody else want to? Yes, Jimmy, go ahead. Who was leaving? Joe? All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to say? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
You know, this morning I don't know how to describe it. I just kind of felt blah, just like I felt like sluggish and tired, and I just kind of felt like, I don't know if I'd say I felt discouraged. I guess maybe you could say I felt oppressed or something. I don't know. But I was like, you know, and I just started confessing. I'm full of energy and strength. My body is awake. My mind is awake. And I just started speaking, you know, just speaking God's word of who I am and what I have. And, you know, and the more I did that, the more I got energized and pumped up, and that feeling went away from me, you know, and I talked myself happy. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I do that every morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I usually do that too, confess the word and all that stuff. But it was just like, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes it's like, you just feel like going back to bed and just laying back down because you feel tired and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I realized it was just the enemy, you know, yeah. You know, and he has nothing over me, you know. And so I just started confessing the word and you know, the word brought me out of it. Jesus brought me out of it. Thank you, Lord.
You know, that's your word. But there's something there to that. When you first get up in the morning, you parents, when you first get up, first thing you ought to say, I bind any demons that found their way in my house, and I command you to get out. You ain't allowed in this house. Bless God, this is a house of God. You ain't allowed. And while I'm gone, my angel's going to take over here and protect my family while I'm gone. And boy, I tell you what, they won't even come around you after a while. They won't come around you. And I started doing that myself. Getting up in the morning, I said, get out of my room. Get out of my house. Get out of, you know, get off this mountain. I've been telling them, hey, get off this mountain. You ain't allowed on this mountain, glory to God. When David and I leave here, every night, every time that we leave here, we tell the angels, don't let one varmint come up on this mountain. And that means humans too. Yeah. But we ain't had no problem. I think we talked about this the other night. You do a proactive offense against the enemy. And if you do that, you won't be coming on here anymore. Just that old dogged look. Oh, can I tell you something else if it won't make you mad? when you come for prayer, we don't need 15 minutes of what's wrong with you. Just get it out. I have this. Please pray for me. Because when they start doing that, you get tore down too. You get broke down too. And you say, oh, I don't know if I've got faith enough for that. You just did it, you know. Come out, say what's wrong with you. I don't need to know the history. Y'all don't need to know the history. All we need to know is what's wrong with you. And that's pretty simple, ain't it? Because a lot of times you'll drag people's faith down by telling them what's wrong with you and how it went. This stuff. I'm telling you, you would believe some of the stories I've heard. I said, oh my goodness, I don't know if I've got enough faith for you, lady. You need to go repent. You know, a woman or a man or whatever it is. It could be either one. I've had them both do it to me. But all you need to do is go in there and say, I need prayer for this, period. And that's it. We don't need the history. And that's that. You know what that does? Anybody know what that does? It takes all of the stuff away from what you're trying to get. You know, you want us to be feel sorry for you. But what we want to do is just get after the pain or whatever it is and get it gone from you. Get the disease gone. Get the whatever gone from you. Whatever you need. Anyway, that's just me. All right, anybody else? I hope I didn't make anybody mad when I did that. If I did, you need to get saved. You need to repent. That's unforgiving. Read the book. Amen. Uh-oh. All right, has anybody got anything else? Let's see. Cheryl says, Ephesians 6:20 and 21, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's right. Oh, Joe took off. Okay. All right. Yeah, they do, Missy. I like them better, too. All right. Anybody else? We still got 15 minutes. Hey, listen, I want to put y'all on to something. Just a minute. Let me look here if I can find it. Y'all ever read the book 40 Days in Heaven? It's about this guy that the Lord took to heaven. And he had a friend. And this was a very spiritual guy. And he went to heaven. The angels took him to heaven. And after he had all of these experiences, he went to his friend who was a kind of a, well, the Lord asked him to go to him and have him transcribe his visits to heaven. And of course, this guy did. But what was interesting, I was just got into it a little bit today. And when he was up into heaven the first time, listen to this. He said, just at this moment, I saw a woman step from a chariot. She seemed to be so bewildered that she sank down as one of the attendants approached her. Now, he's talking about a chariot into heaven. She threw up her hands and cried out in amazement, oh my God, I am not worthy nor fit for this glory. Oh, can I ever be made right with God? She closed her eyes, almost unconscious with bewilderment, and it seemed that she could not speak as her attendant kindly addressed her with most loving words. At last, she opened her eyes and looked about in wonder and amazement, exclaiming, oh, these white garments, these golden goblets, trees of life and blooming flowers, I am not worthy of them. Have I really a right to be here and to all these beautiful trees loaded with such lovely fruit? Oh, the mercy of God, I was such a great sinner. Yes, indeed, replied her God, but your sins have all been forgiven. The angels make no mistakes. You have a right to these trees, for they are his, on whom you have believed. Yea, they are yours, for you are his. At this she arose to her feet and said, But have I the wedding garment on? I was earnestly crying when the chariot came for me. I was in such deep distress and confusion of soul, knowing I had not been prepared for so great a change. You have been saved, my child, said her attendant, so as by fire you were not a faithful servant of God. You did not build with gold, silver, and precious stones, but with wood, hay, and stubble, which have been burnt. God cannot reward you largely now. These infinite blessings spread out before you in all directions may be obtained by and by when you are prepared for them. Be faithful to your present opportunities, for much is before you to be done. Advancements which ought to have been made in the world will have to be made here before you can go on to the city gates or see the shining glory of the Jasper Wall. Come with me, and I will assist you in a further knowledge of Christ and his eternal salvation and kingdom. Now, here's the other guy talking. He said, I now said to the elder by my side, Will you explain to me her great mistake? Surely, he replied, she represents a very large class in the world who have not made good use of earthly opportunities. She was never deeply interested in her salvation till near the time of her death. Do you not see how gaunt and skinny she looks, and how little clothing she has, only a gown? Her repentance has been genuine, and her faith accepted the promises of eternal life in her Lord, and her forgiveness has been complete. She has added but little grace and almost no growth to her soul. She now feels her great loss, as all such souls do and must feel. She has no treasure laid up in heaven. Paradise itself seems too good for her, but God, in his great mercy, will bring her home. Those trees are for her. Their leaves are full of healing virtue. No one who has not received the gift of eternal life and been born again will ever be carried by the angels to this glory. Many, alas, perish from the earth in sight of the Redeemer's outstretched arms of love and mercy because they will not accept his gracious help. They love the pleasures of sin more than God or these everlasting joys and pleasures at his right hand here forevermore. Oh, blessed Christ, I said loudly, filled with everlasting love and mercy for your people, that even in the last moments of life, like the dying thief, they may be snatched from the jaws of death. But oh, her great loss, how sad. The group of happy souls now came toward us. The elder introduced us. We were soon acquainted and conversed with each other with great freedom, although we had never met before. Anyway, I just wanted to relate to you what happens when you squander your birthright, your new creation birthright, your walk with God. You're going to be, I'm not saying y'all, but I'm just saying it. The people who squander their salvation. They take it lightly. They take it too lightly. They listen to the man rather than going to the word. That's where a lot of them are. That's where most of them are. And that's why we're fixing to go into this great tribulation. And so God can shake his people loose from them. There's a lot of people that we know, all of us know, that are deceived into thinking that once saved, always saved doctrine that all they got to do is go to church Sunday and Wednesday night, pay the preacher, and everything's cool. Go back to sinning, because you're once saved, always saved. That's going to send a lot of people to hell. And God help those pastors and preachers and people and teachers and all of those people that put that garbage out there. So we got to have a lot of patience in the days ahead, a lot of patience and humility is necessary, And we're going to see people that are going to tax you. You know what I mean? You're going to try to teach them the word of God. And they're going to say, well, that's not what I've been taught by somebody that's a doctor in theology. That he went to here and he went to there and he, but is he a doctor of Jesus? That's what God wants. He wants us to be locked into him. I keep thinking about these men I've learned about in the past. Most of them are very humble, down-to-earth men. Down-to-earth. Smith Wigglesworth was nothing but a plumber. That's what he was. But he knew God. George Mueller, just a humble guy. He just liked to help kids. A lot of people like that. William Branham, humble man from, where was he from? I'll tell you where he's from. Sulphur Springs, Arkansas. Oh, I'm sorry. That was A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was from Sulphur Springs. He was from, Branham was from Kentucky, I think. Yeah. All humble men. Anyway, anybody got anything they want to add? I love Jesus. How about y'all? I'll be so loving him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I think I'll just get up and dance tonight after I leave y'all. I ain't going to do it in front of you. Y'all scare me sometimes. Have y'all ever done that? Just got up and started praising God in your house? You ever done that? Just dance? Yeah, there you go. Dance like David. Jesus did that night. Amen.
Michael, did David see Jesus when that happened?
He didn't have to. I saw him.
I know that.
Yeah.
Did he know what was going on?
Because I told him. He was sitting down at the time, Pat, and there was the last song, I believe. It was Enemy's Camp, I think, what we were playing, and what Chuck and them was playing, and we were all singing it. David just was tired. He was getting ready to start his message for the night. And I saw the Lord come walking over there, and he asked me, he said, would you get David up? I said, yeah, I'll get him up. I told David, I said, get up. I went over and grabbed him and said, get up. Lord wants to get you up. So he got up. Lord came over and just gave him a great big hug. And he said, man, he said, the power of God went all over me when that happened. It did. And then he said, then I saw him, Pat. He stepped back a little bit, and David's spirit came out, and they both got out there and went to dancing. And the spirit, David was, it was awesome. And then, after it was over, David got up, and he started dancing and grabbing people and went to dancing around. And, you know, it was cool. It was nice. It was good. But the most unique one was the other night when the Lord came in and sat down, and he started messing with me right away. Yeah.
Picking on you, huh?
Well, no, he wasn't picking on me. He was trying to, I don't know what he was, it was funny. It was funny. He sat there about an hour. I could tell he was enjoying himself. He enjoys the enjoys the fellowship with the people. He loves that. I could tell. And but when it's time for him to go, he's about an hour later. He got up. He looked. He had his hands on the chair, and then he got back up. He waved at me like he had to look back at me, wave at me like that, and grin real big. And I go like that. Debbie said she was watching me. She said she started laughing. She didn't know what I was doing, and Brandy too. And the Lord just—he burst out laughing. He did. He turned around. He just laughed. Then he took off. That was cool.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was good. Lord, we thank you for it, because we know you have a great sense of humor. Not only that, Lord, you love us all, because we love you. We're going to do everything in our power to do what you want us to do, Father God. We ask for your leading and your guidance, Lord, in the days ahead, to teach us what you want us to do and how you want us to do it. And Lord, we're not going to back down from nothing, because we know you're with us. And it makes no difference what's ahead of us. Lord, we just rest in you. We have that rest, that peace in our heart, because we know you're with us, like David was talking about earlier. You're with us all the time. The kingdom is with us all the time. We don't have nothing to worry about. I ain't going to get anxious. I'm not going to get fearful. All I'm going to do is trust you, Lord. Everything can fall down around me. It ain't going to make a bit of difference, because I know that you're with me. And I praise you for it, Father. And I know everybody here is praying the same thing. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for your rest. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all. Good night. Let's see if I can do this without messing up.